Well, God bless you. Welcome to the Wonderful Words of Life radio program. We are continuing our study in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin in verse 21. We're going to back up a little bit because Jesus now, he's talking about the Great Tribulation period, and so we want to begin here. So let's pray. Father, bless this time of study, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice in verse 21, Jesus says this, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." Now, the first time the Romans captured Jerusalem in 67 BC, there were about 12,000 casualties. In 70 AD, the total casualty amounted to 1,337,490, with 97,000 carried away to slavery. And it is also worthy to note that when the Roman legions appeared around Jerusalem and the city was shut up, millions of Jews had already entered into the city to celebrate one of the major feasts ascribed to them. And what feast was it that the multitudes of the Jews came to Jerusalem to celebrate? It was the Passover festival. It is the 38th anniversary of the feast of Passover when Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, so that all those who believed in him might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did this for the whole world. He became the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He did that on the cross. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad he did? Now, verse 22. "And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." We know that as devastating as these events were in Jerusalem and to the Jewish nation, what happened in 70 AD will pale in comparison to what's going to happen, what's going to take place in Israel and throughout the world during the tribulation period. And Jesus said, "Unless those days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved." And Jesus was speaking of not just the Jewish nation, but the entire world. If it had not, those days had not been shortened, the entire Jewish nation would have been blotted out. And at Armageddon, towards the end of the tribulation period, the entire world would have been reduced, or will be reduced to cinders, if the Lord does not come when he comes. And that is very important for us. Now, Zechariah chapter 14 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." In other words, half will remain, half will be taken. That's very important for us to see that as we go along in our study today. And then in verse 23, Jesus speaks of false Christs and false prophets. "Then if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles or the vultures be gathered together." And that's very important for us to see there, because there is coming destruction. Now, it's going to happen during the tribulation period. And we know the degree by which things are going to transpire in the tribulation period. We have a microcosm of that in the history of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And also we know that the Jews were the ones that perished While the Christians, the Christian community, they fled to Pella, and they escaped the judgment that was coming upon that nation and upon that city. All right, now verse 27 says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will also the eagles be gathered together." So the false Christs and the false prophets mentioned in the previous verses, they're not appearing like Jesus will appear. Jesus is coming. He will be visible, and he will be supernatural. What happened to the false Christ and the false prophets? Amen. They disappeared. They were invisible, but not Jesus. He is coming. His coming is visible. His coming will be supernatural, and it will be sudden. It will come as a thief in the night, and the enemies of the earth are going to be taken by surprise. When the world says peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Can you imagine, notice in the news today, the jubilation whenever Israel is attacked, how people will celebrate and give gifts to one another? Well, that is, once again, that is an illustration of what's going to happen towards the end of the tribulation period, when Israel is looking to be completely destroyed and annihilated. People are going to say, well, finally, we've got rid of the Jews, and they're going to send gifts to one another. They're going to jubilate. But listen, it won't be long lived. They'll see the Son of Man coming. Now, the rapture will concern only the church. Now, there's going to be raptures in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, but we're talking about the rapture of the church as a whole. And we're talking about the true church. And Jesus will come. He's coming for the church. But in the second coming, he's coming with the church. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "They shall look upon me in whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son." Now, when Zechariah said me, he wasn't talking about him himself. He was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about Jesus. "And when they see him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So the Jews who survive the great tribulation, they will finally realize who their true Messiah is. It is none other than Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Amen. So, man does not know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man comes. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. And this implies the doctrine of imminency, and is teaching us that the Lord should come at any moment. Now, what shall be the sign of his coming? Matthew 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Notice that, verse 29. This is called a transitional marker. This is marking what Jesus is speaking of now. He's speaking of the sign of his coming. And Jesus, he's shown what will transpire in 70 AD. Now he's describing the signs in the heavens during the great tribulation period. And that's important for us to see here. And also, notice what he says here. He says, "The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give its light." Well, we'll find that in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and verse 10. He also says the stars shall fall from heaven. Well, we see that in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13. And Jesus also said the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. So as we read through the book of Revelation and we compare what Jesus said in this verse 29, it becomes very clear that there is a pattern of judgment in the book of Revelation, and also in of John, the revelation of John gives in the book of Revelation, and also in Matthew chapter 24. And that's important because Scripture interprets Scripture. Now, verse 3, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When Jesus says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven," the only sign that he gives is the sign that's found in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11, 16, connected with the second coming of the Lord. Now, it's at the rapture that the Lord is coming for the saints. And the second coming, the Lord is coming with the saints. Amen. Praise God. So, there's no doubt that the Lord's coming to judge the entire world, and there's no doubt that the Lord is coming to save Israel. Israel has passed through her judgment. That's principally what the Great Tribulation period is all about. It's about the judging of the nation of Israel and bringing them to repentance. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. "So all Israel shall be saved." That's God's ultimate purpose. But now Jesus also says that all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And of course, the word earth is the Greek word ge, and it's talking about the soil. It's talking about land, but it also can apply the entire world. So the tribes of the world, and also the tribes of Israel now, those who are left, the whole world, amen, they're going to mourn. The tribes of the earth shall mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, those who are remain of the children of Israel, they're going to mourn for repentance. But now the Gentile nations of the world that have risen up against, that have joined themselves, that have become in union with the Antichrist, they are going to grieve. They're going to mourn because they are getting ready to be judged. So we need to remember that. In the rapture, Jesus is coming for his saints, but in the second coming, Jesus is coming with his saints. And of course, we know that in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, how Zechariah describes how the land will mourn. And also, in two Greek interlinears that I possess, gay, the Greek word gay, is translated land. And it implies the land of Judea, but also we're talking about the whole world too. So as I said before, Israel will mourn for repentance, but now the world is going to mourn over judgment. Amen. Praise God. So verse 31 now, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So the rapture takes place before the tribulation begins. I know we've already established that. Paul's writings in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the second coming of Christ, it's going to involve the rapture of the saints. Amen. Those raptured saints who have enjoyed the 7-year celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, they are going to come with Christ along with an entire army of angels. Now, Christ does not need an army of angels to take over the entire earth, but they're coming anyhow. Amen. And we know that the army of angels, the angels are innumerable company of angels. So we don't know exactly how many is in army, but I would suggest many, many thousands of angels. So what a stupendous feat that's going to be held by not just the nation of Israel, but the entire world. Amen. And Robertson in his footnotes says this. He says the sound is the sound of a trumpet, a signal that was employed to call the host of Israel to march as to war. And it's also a common prophetic imagery of warfare that is to take place. Amen. Now, Wycliffe Bible translators, this footnote under the sign of the Son of Man, it will cause the Jews and all the tribes of the earth to mourn as they recognize that, as Israel recognizes Jesus as their Messiah, but the world recognizes Jesus as their judge. Amen. And of course, they also, in Wycliffe commentary, this footnote, the angels who gather his elect are the same who are described in Matthew chapter 13, verse 30 and verses 41 through 43 as the removing the tares from the wheat that the wheat might be gathered into the barn. Now, that's also very significant. So, what are these leading up to, this chapter leading up to the words of Jesus, watch, therefore. We notice this throughout the rest of this chapter. What are we to watch, therefore, concerning? Well, there's five tests or there's five proofs that Jesus gives of his second coming. It's the parable of the fig tree. It is the days of Noah. It's two being in the field and two grinding. That's in verses 40 and 41. The good man of the house, that's in verses 43 and 44. And the faithful and wise servant, that's in 45 through 51. So, to qualify to be raptured is simply this. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And confess him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That is the prescription for salvation. So anyone listening to the sound of my voice, you've never made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I want you to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now to as many as God gives the privilege to become the sons of God, they come through faith alone in Christ alone, and they bring nothing with them. They come to Christ with empty hands. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So my advice today and my encouragement today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you bow your head right now. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and life. You repent of sin. You make the decision, I'm going to turn around. I'm not living my life the way I'm living it anymore. I'm going to live my life the way Jesus would have me live it and submit to his will. He'll save you. He'll give you new birth, and you will be a child of God. Then you will become a candidate to go with him whenever he calls you. Praise God. Amen. All right, now let's go through the five proofs of the second coming of Christ. The first proof is found in verses 32 and 33. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So even today, we see signs becoming more and more evident that we are in the last of the last days. Now, the fig tree is used in the scriptures as a symbol of the nation of Israel. But it would also mean that the fig tree that shoots forth its leaves, that summer is coming. So Jesus here is exhorting his inner circle, the believers, to understand the imminency of these things. So that's really what the parable of the fig tree is speaking of, that these things are coming to pass and for them to know that summer is near. That means the coming of the Son of Man is very near. If it was near 2,000 years ago, how much nearer is it today? Praise God. Matthew 21:19, notice what Matthew records. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever, and presently the fig tree withered away. And this, what Jesus means by this, is what I believe he means by this, is that the fruit tree that puts on leaves and that bears no fruit is worthless. Jesus is not coming after an Israel that is worthless. He's not coming into this world for a world that is worthless. There is good in this world, and it's worth fighting for, and there will be a remnant saved. A remnant of Israel will be saved, and a remnant of the nations of the Gentiles will be saved. Amen. Now, the generation that saw Jesus walk the shores of Galilee, this generation that didn't heed the warning signs, they were not watchful, and as a result, they bore no fruit. And that's important for us today. As believers in Christ, as Christians, as baptized and members of the Christian church, we've got to bear fruit. And if we're not bearing any fruit, possibly it's because we're really not saved. Even though we go to a church that has a name over its threshold of the front door, even though maybe we have become members of the church, we've been baptized in the water, but there's no fruit being born by us believers, then we need to repent. We need to change what we're doing. We need to change in the direction where we're going. We need to get on our knees. We need to bow our knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of sin, and ask Him to come in to our heart and life. And He'll do that. And all of these worthless years that we've spent going to church and doing all of our Christian things, we'll have an opportunity after we get born again to redeem the time, to really become a child of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, verses 34 and 35. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So in this statement by Jesus, He testifies to the truth of what He has revealed to His disciples when He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Amen. So Jesus is speaking specifically here of the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in 70 AD. But He's also speaking of the world towards the end of the tribulation period. Amen. This destruction or this judgment is yet to come. It's still in our future. So what Jesus prophesied would happen to Jerusalem, it came to pass. And what Jesus says will happen in the future at His second coming will also come to pass. If all of the passages of Scripture that prophesied His first coming came to pass, how much more shall all the Scriptures speaking of His second coming will come to pass? Absolutely. Amen. God is not a liar. What He says will happen, and we can be sure of that. Now, verse 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Praise God. So this verse of Scripture forms the foundational basis of the doctrine of imminency that Christ could come at any moment. And that's very important for us to see that. All right. Now, the second proof of the days of Noah. Verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus appears in the skies in His second coming, it will be too late. They'll have a second of opportunity to bow their knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Israelites that remain will. They'll bow their knees. They'll mourn. But for those that have risen up with the Antichrist and opposition to God and to the nation of Israel, they will be destroyed out of hand. And that's important for us to know that. Now, the third proof of Jesus' second coming is the parable of two in the field and two grinding at the mill. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now, this is speaking of judgment. It's not speaking of the rapture. To say this is the rapture, it speaks of the rapture, is totally out of place. Now, the Greek word paralambanetai, the third person singular, is in the middle voice. And that means the subject which is the ones in the field, the ones in the mill, is both the receiver of the action for himself and calls special attention to the subject. Amen. And this action is qualified in the context. Now, I want to read to you, because we know that this is talking about judgment, I want to read to you Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. And I saw, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud I saw one sitting like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his heart a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the temple, crying with a great voice to him that sat on the cloud. Now, this is before the second coming of Christ in verse 19. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the one in whose hand there is judgment. And notice what he says. Send forth thy sickle and reap, for the hour to reap is come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud clasped in his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, he that hath power over fire. And he called with a great voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, send forth thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel cast his sickle into the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and cast it into the wine press, the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city, and there came out blood from the wine press, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. So we're talking here about judgment. Two in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. So half are going to be destroyed. The other half are going to be left to face judgment. And that is a horrible thing to think of. All right. The fourth proof in verses 43 and 44. Know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would not have watched. And would have not suffered, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man coming. So this is an admonition to watch and to be faithful. Amen. And Luke records this in chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with drunkenness, surfeiting, carousing, cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So Jesus is warning his elect, be watchful. And then finally, the fifth proof, this is found in verses 45 through 51, the faithful and the wise servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler all over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So these are the proofs that Jesus gives in ending chapter 24 of his second coming. He talks about the destruction of Jerusalem that was 38 years ahead in his time frame before he went to the cross. And he's talking about our time, the last days that we're living in now, that we're looking forward to the second coming of Christ, the great tribulation period that will take place, the 7 years of celebration in heaven, and then his return, the coming with his saints to take possession of the earth once again. Praise God. I certainly hope you're ready for that. If you're not, get ready and get ready now. Don't wait. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, that you would be prepared for heaven? If you're not sure, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I repent and ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I surrender my heart and life to you. By faith, I believe I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you for receiving me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed this prayer and desire to know more about the gift of Christ that the Heavenly Father offers you, then email us at rbtc86@gmail.com. We will be glad to answer your questions promptly and provide you at your request with materials that will help you to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is Patsy Dunning. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. And let me remind you to tune in to this station at the same time next week to hear more of the wonderful words of life. God bless you, and remember what Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life."